Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 157 of Your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community that is gaming for the elderly. And today is February 28th, 2012. I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and with me this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
How are you, Greg?
I am groovy, Mike.
It's cozy in this podcast today.
It is cozy. So it's ironic. Last week we had just riches everywhere you turned, yeah. And this week, not a single rich to be found. Which is ironic because I was talking to Primrose earlier. I was going to be on the podcast. Okay, that's a bit of a lie. I saw him at least playing games on Xbox Live, so I just kind of assumed. But we're pretty sure he's sleeping right now. And Mr. Webster, he said once was enough for a little while. But he did say he would come back. So we'll have more PC gaming talk in the future, just for all those people that were so excited about last week's PC gaming.
Yeah, yeah. We quoted for PC gaming for at least, that's a year's worth there, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a year's worth.
Nothing happens on PC gaming, it's fine. Diablo 3's been delayed, who cares, all this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Mr. Christopher Matthew. Now, we do expect him today.
Yeah.
Just running a little behind. Yeah. So we figured, you know what, why wait for him? Let's at least start recording now. He'll join in progress, and, we'll take it all from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, one thing I did want to just clear up real fast, though.
Right.
Is, you know what I couldn't care less about? Is people saying I'm saying it wrong and that I couldn't or could or couldn't care less. I don't care. So I have to say to that, Mr. Stuart Fowler.
Yeah, you should really listen to the Veteran Gamers this week.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Damn it.
Just saying.
I'll have to give it a listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, Duke, I think he talks just the right amount.
Oh, yeah, because he's so quiet sometimes.
Yes, he is so quiet.
There are moments where Duke just doesn't care about what we're talking about, and he's not ashamed to admit he's like, I don't care about current news too much or whatever. But when he is passionate about a certain topic, he goes for it. We're talking about the Veteran Gamers podcast, if you don't listen to it. I think people should, don't you, Greg?
You know what? It's a big community thing, absolutely. The more podcasts you can pull in, the better off you are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm on it.
And you are on it. This is true. So if you can't get enough of Mike here, you can always get a little bit more of Mike there.
You crazy people.
And then you got a whole lot of Mike.
That's a lot of Mike. That's too much Mike.
Some would say that.
See, we're haunted by our own.
We are.
Anyway, Greg.
I think this has been enough fluff. I think we probably should just dive into what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing... Well, actually, before we dive into that, Mike, the contest stuff, it still continues on.
I have no... Someone asked me about this, and I have... Like, I was Stu on the Veteran Gamers, right? He says, you're giving away, like, codes for a hood. I was like, I have no idea. Like, this is the part of the show where I really have no input. Like, I have a Google Doc in front of me, people, and there are just codes everywhere. I mean, if I read one of them, mate, I suppose you could get something for free. But, like, they're just full of codes and names and winner and highlighted. It's just a code mess. So I don't get involved.
I've been doing my best to keep things clean and proper. So right now, the contest in front of us, which we're not going to be announcing a winner right now, but I wanted to just throw it back out there. It is the Best Limerick Contest. So you write a limerick about any gate member. We've more or less decided it's probably going to be slanted towards us a little bit with regards to that. But write us a limerick, and we will find the best one. And the person that wins will get a free Dirt 3 code for the PC. So it's that whole PC gaming thing again. But, hey, it's a free game code. So you can't really argue with that. You know, kind of going back over the old, some of the old contests we've already had, I like to kind of highlight this stuff too. So we did a what would you do with 100 points contest, and the winner of that was Denver J. So he should now have his vote. I did send that to him over the PMs, so hopefully he's got that. Of course, we were doing the iTunes 100 point code giveaway, where we're just basically every week giving away 100 points. Just randomly giving away 100 points to people that have left us iTunes reviews. So that, of course, will continue on, and we'll get to that later on in the show this week.
She brought up a good point about that, because we think, oh, 100 points, like, what can you do with just 100 points? But sometimes you just need 100 points more, because not many people just have zero balance, you know? So it's like, oh, I've got, like, 700 points, and then you get another 100, you've got 800, there you go, you got a game.
Yep, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, you know, it's just a little filler, a little cap. And then we had, of course, our Dark Souls for Lovers contest. This was when you came back going, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
We had people writing poems and songs.
Oh, yeah, what the hell?
Dark Lovers. So, yeah, so the winners for that received a copy of Dark Souls.
Cool.
We had a PAL Region 1, and we had a U.S. Region 1. So Mark Davies, Knife Party, won the PAL version, and then for the U.S. version, it was Spock. He won that, and Spock, I believe we still owe you that that email. So hang in there. Chris contacted me earlier today and said he needed to send you off that information. So it will be coming.
It'll
fear
be
not.
Coming. Don't worry. Free game.
And Gengo Crimes also, fear not. You know, still got that little something planned
for you. He only lives, like, what, about 50 miles away from me. I could just post it to him.
Well, yeah, that's actually the surprise, Mike. We're going to have him come and cut his lawn.
Yay!
His lawn. But, yeah, so I think that's kind of it for contests at the moment.
Okay.
So never know when we're going to have another one.
I could potentially
foreshadowing.
I could potentially give away a game. I have a game that is just unopened.
See, again, we're stockpiling things.
Yeah.
This is where the craziness comes in. Anyway, so just exciting things. So this is – I wanted to bring this up. I like bringing this up at the beginning of the show because, hey, it's just one more reason besides our charm and our humor to listen to the show. With that said and done, let's talk about games. Let's talk about what we've been playing. Mike, you've got quite a few little things on your playlist there.
Yes.
So let's talk about games.
All right. So, first of all, I'll talk about Binary Domain. I played the demo for this, Greg.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the first part of it I've played before. I played at the Eurogamer thing.
Okay.
And it's exactly the same, you know, when you take down the robot from above. All that stuff, and you know it's pretty basic stuff. It's a third person shooter, pretty much like Gears of War. Enemies that look like the robots from Terminator / Mass Effect. You got the interesting thing, I suppose, is that you got some kind of squad that you have to build relationships with. And if you say I like that girl's ass, that woman won't like you, but the dude with you will because he's sexist and all this. And there's a British guy in there as well because. Every Americans love British accents and so do the Japanese.
So, real fast, about the squad. So, one, everybody in there was completely stereotyped.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to like, insulting proportions. I mean, I was surprised the black guy wasn't talking about eating, like, fried chicken and watermelon, and the British guy.
Well, you haven't played the game yet, so.
Okay.
There might be a chicken eating. Like competition or something in the middle of the game. And there
but
might be
pretty sure,
eating crumpets section for the British guy. I don't know.
Exactly. Tea and crumpets. I was expecting that.
Yeah.
And the women, you know, what can you say? I mean, the if you pick a woman on your team, she immediately is, like, asking you if you picked her, you know, because you I guess we're, like, checking her out or something like that.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember. I played the demo a few weeks back. But, yeah, that stuff – honestly killed the demo for me because I don't know. I didn't mind the shooting. The shooting mechanics all felt pretty.
Yeah, I agree.
Graphically, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't fantastic, but it certainly wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But it was the audio that just drove me up the wall because I really wanted to shoot my own team. I did not want them to live. I would have been happier playing this game solo than having to listen to them whine, especially the chick, because in the spot where you are fighting the giant robot where you're supposed to kill it from above.
Yes.
I had gone up one of the side buildings up the stairwell and had been attacking it from up top, and the game is one of those things where it's not necessarily kind of open-ended. You can kill it however you want. There's at certain point in time, the game is going to instruct you to do something to try and take down a boss, especially in this particular fight.
Yeah.
And in this instance, it was saying to shoot down this wire, and that would basically kind of short-circuit the giant robot to where you could attack it.
Yeah.
Well, from the building where I was at, I couldn't see the wire. And she kept screaming, you know, shoot the wire, shoot the wire.
Yeah, and it's not easy to see if you're outside, to be honest.
Right. Well, and I couldn't see it at all from inside. I literally was blocked from viewing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? So I'm running around trying to find this
stupid wire. Shoot the wire, shut up.
Yeah, I swear to God, she had to have said it about 30 times by the time I got down.
But even with the whole get to the top of the building thing, I mean, give me a chance to get up there. She's like, maybe you need to go to the top of the building. Yeah, you should go to the top. There's a rocket. Just go. You're an idiot. Go to the... I was like, I'm walking up the stairs. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so, I mean, it could get boring, is what I written down here. The controls feel good. You know, it's quite different, I suppose, with the whole kind of relationship with your squad. I mean... The Thing did it a little bit, so it's not that original. But it could get boring. I imagine that game could get boring very quickly. And it's very rough around the edges as well. I'll put that down. Because, you know, especially the second sequence where there's enemies just coming round from everywhere and you didn't feel like it was a fair fight. And I went down quite a few times in the second part. I don't know about you, Greg.
Oh, yeah. The saving grace is the fact that your teammates could come and revive you. And they were pretty good about coming and reviving you as long as you were in fairly close proximity. But there were at least two times, especially in the second part of the demo, where they had crossed over to the other side of the train.
Yes.
Without me.
Yeah. Yeah.
and I was just SOL.
Yeah. I think as well, when you go down, like, it seems that one of your squad members is like automatically dedicated to picking you up. Because
right.
I had like a robot and a woman on my team, and the woman says, "Well, I'm picking you up," and the robot was right next to me. All right, and I was, well, listen, love.
What about him?
What about? I mean, he's right next. He's not that busy. How about him? And he just, no, I've got him. And the, you know, just, I suppose it's manners, but it just rough. It was just rough. So that's, I think we've talked enough about Binary Domain. Yeah. We don't need to talk about any more about that. Very quickly, going on to games that we shouldn't really talk about, I played the first Templar. and I'm gonna read out my notes as they are.
Okay.
So here they go. Wow. Oh wow. Brackets, lip sync. Oh dear God. What kind of filter is that? Wilhelm scream. If you don't know what the Wilhelm scream is, Google it. And then, what the fuck? It's amazing that this game has been released, has done. It's amazing that a publisher would look at that and go, yeah, I'll publish that. Yeah, that's fine. I'll bang that out, no problem. Really? Wow. That game is awful. Like, not even slightly good.
You know, it's funny because I think, if I'm not mistaken, XPlay had reviewed it, and they said it was one of the worst games they had played, like, all year. And I kept thinking, God, how could it be that bad, given the kind of, you know, the content, you know, Sword Templar, how can you make that bad?
It's not that bad. I mean, like, it's not that hard to get that wrong, right? You know, Templars are pretty cool. You know, that era's pretty cool. Hacking and slashing, it could be an average game. I'm not saying it's going to be a Mass Effect. But, I mean, they just don't even try. Like, the voices don't go with the lips, and the animations are terrible. They have this awful filter over everything to make it look grainy. and it just looks like this weird grid. And just, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, how would you make this and go, I want to put my name on this. This is great, you know? Just, yeah. It must have been made by, like, three blokes that have never played games in their lives. It's phenomenal how it's been released. And the Wilhelm scream, for anybody that doesn't know, is a very popular sound effect scream that makes it into many of George Lucas's films. But it was started by a cowboy in West Africa. I forgot which one it is, back in the day. And someone shoots a cowboy on a horse, and then they shout, Wilhelm! All right, and he gets shot, and he does this scream, and then that scream is used quite a lot. As soon as you hear it, you go, I've heard that in many, many things. So,
okay.
And the Wilhelm scream was in this. That was the only kind of good thing about it. But I suppose it's public domain sound effects. They've probably just got public domain sound effects on this. Like, none of them are, you know, recorded for the game or privately bought or anything. So, it's just awful.
I'm going to take that off my demo list.
I think so.
Don't need to try the demo.
No, you don't need to try. I played a game that you should try if you haven't. Is Shank 2.
Okay.
I like this, but the problem is really. Is that, I mean, it looks cool, right? The art's cool, the combat's cool, but there's something about it that I just don't, it doesn't grab me in the same way. And I think it's the kind of what it is really, it's very repetitive.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you could argue Castle Crash is repetitive, but it's funny and it's charming and it's got a level up system and there's unlockables. But this, it's just like, you know, you beat stuff up and you get to the right end of the screen. And I don't know. I really want to like it, but I just can't be bothered to.
Yeah, I've been finding myself struggling a little bit with a lot of the side-scrolling arcade titles of late. There's not been too many that I've really seen that, you know, capture, I don't know, that kind of, just that real unique funness that you want to see in an arcade game these days. And I don't want to, you know, the side scroll is not dead for sure, but Shank 2, like you said, it looks great, but I had no desire to try it.
Strange, isn't it? It's strange. I don't get it really. I feel like when it was being announced and it was coming out, and I was like, you know what, that looks really good, but now I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to buy it. Maybe on a sale, maybe, but it's a very big maybe. It depends if I've got stuff going on. I played a game called Puddle. I won't talk too much about it, but it's a tilt game, basically, and you control fluids. And it's a good idea, but, like, it should be on an iPad. It probably is.
What did you try it on?
It's on the Xbox Arcade.
A tilt game?
A tilt game, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, obviously it's probably on the iPhone, iPod or whatever. But it's pretty hard as well. Like, it's not that fun. it's just too hard.
That's it. That's like the worst strike you can ever give a game. It's not fun.
It's not really, because it's so hard. But, like, you know, it's presented really well. You know, the graphics are nice and the levels and the color palettes are all interesting. So, you know, there's obviously, like, quite a lot of effort put into it. But they've made it too hard. I think they probably forgot about ease of access, and that maybe they'd gone for the Meat Boy, Super Meat Boy crowd or something. I don't know. But it's too hard for me. I can't be bothered to get into it. I also played SSX.
Okay, let's talk about SSX. What did you think?
You played it?
I tried the demo last week. I've actually got it coming to me from Gameplay this week.
I remember you talking about it. Yes. I really liked that game.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job with SSX in kind of bringing it back around. This is the kind of thing, this revamping of the SSX franchise is what I would love to see them do with, say, Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that with Tony Hawk, unfortunately, but I this was a step in the right direction for SSX.
I don't know if Tony Hawk needs it too much, but, like, SSX, I mean, the music is great. And the way it kind of interacts with what you're doing is great. It controls well. What did you go for, buttons or analog stick?
I was using the analog stick.
Are you freak?
I liked the analog stick. It was nice.
I didn't do that. I used buttons.
Well, that was the best part is you could go either way.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was a great game. Really cool tutorial as well, you know, skydiving and all that. Brilliant.
I remember we were talking last week about the survival mode, and you were asking if they had it.
Yes.
So they do have it, but there was some unique twists on it. So I know originally my thought was, I was thinking it was going to be kind of like an avalanche coming after you type of survival mode.
Yeah.
But they've done a lot of twists with it, and I was watching a video on the game. This is how I found out about it. Apparently, depending on there's like seven different like kind of major mountain ranges that the game takes place at, and basically the survival mode is kind of the highest peak, so to speak, has the survival mode in it, and it varies. So one survival mode might be you have to wear an oxygen tank because you're say at Mount Everest.
Okay.
And you have to repeatedly use like the left bumper to activate the oxygen tank.
Right.
But you can't do it too often, otherwise you'll end up using up your oxygen and run out and black out.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's different variations on that. So some of it's like equipment based. Some of it's going to be like one was you're going to have armor on because as you're going down the slope, you are going to be impacted by trees.
Oh, my God.
So you have to have enough armor and avoid enough of the trees to survive. And so the survival, I mean, they're just unique spins on getting down the mountain in one piece, so to speak.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was an interesting spin. It wasn't just the straight, hey, the avalanche is coming. You got to get down the mountain as fast as you can, which I appreciated. I think it's a better spin. So, But hey, I've got some good news.
Go on.
Mr. Matthew just jumped on, so we're going to pull him in.
Ah.
And, I mean, not really good news per se.
You got my hopes up. I thought we was giving away SSX or something.
No, not quite yet.
Okay.
All right, let's pull him in, and we'll continue talking about what we've been playing.
Let's do it.
We now have Mr. Christopher Matthew joining us.
Hello, everyone. Never mind. There's my dog.
Yes, your dog wanted to come and say hi. And no, Chris, I know you want me to edit in your intro, but I will never do that because I want to keep the authenticity of the show. We already made excuses for you not being here, it's just too late.
The fourth wall, man. The fourth wall. What are you doing?
Completely broken. It's me smashing through it.
Terrible.
But I guarantee it might be in the outtakes.
Terrible.
I know. More importantly, let's talk about the last game on Mike's list.
Okay. The last game on my list. I tried the demo for Kingdoms of Reckoning.
It is a mouthful.
I can't say that word. Did I just say Amalur?
Yeah, you did.
Brilliant. Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning.
Yes.
I played that. And
okay.
You know, I don't like Hawks and Elves and Wizards and shit because it's boring. But
right.
I like this.
Because it was action-y.
Because it's cool. It does definitely remind me of Fable, right?
Right.
Color palettes, the kind of world it's in, kind of the art style of it.
Goofy gnomes, yeah.
Yeah, goofy gnomes, all that stuff. But it's pretty good, and I thought the tutorial did a really good job of kind of really easing you into the combat, because by the time you've got this like mini boss fight, I felt like I really knew how to fight him, and I felt it felt really good when I took him down. I took him down, I was like, yes, like I took him down with all different combinations of the combat, and I nailed him. So that was really rewarding and a great intro to the game. The inventory user interface is very good. Simple and easy, and easy to find out what kind of what's new and everything. And that thing that Duke mentioned on the VeteranGamers.co.uk podcast, the junk thing is just beautiful.
The junk thing is nice. I will say the inventory system kind of left me wanting a little bit more tweaks to it, because as you progress in the game, you're going to get more and more new things, and a lot of times you already know what you got was new, but in your inventory screen, it'll still show up with a star next to it, like, check out, there's something new in there, but you put it in there. You know what's in there.
Well, yeah. That's a minor thing, though, Greg. It's a minor
thing. It is a minor thing. I admit that.
The animation in conversations are terrible.
Yes.
And the voice acting is kind of okay. Not the best.
Yeah.
Not the best. But I mean,
spotty.
But the gameplay is bang on. You know, combat is great.
Mm-hmm.
The combat system is great. The inventory works well. The quest was interesting, and the kind of some of the cutscenes were cool. You know, with you go to that dwarf guy, and he's like, he's a badass dwarf, and he's like, he says, "Run, just go," and he's like kicking the crap out of everyone. Really cool. So I liked it. I thought it was good. I didn't really expect too much of it. And I don't think I'm going to play it now because I haven't really played much of Skyrim. At the moment, I'm playing Deus Ex. And, you know, that's a pretty big... I won't talk too much about that, but that's a pretty big game. And I'm liking it, but there's a lot of errors there. And I just can't play Reckoning there because it's just too long, and
there's too many RPGs.
It is
because Mass Effect's coming. So
I know. It's the year of the RPG, and I was talking to Jason about this Shinyverse. You know, I've gotten deep into Kingdoms of Amalur, but Mass Effect 3 will be here in a week, so I don't know if I'm going to finish Amalur before Mass Effect gets here, but I will finish it. I do really enjoy it, but Mass Effect is going to take over in a week. I just know that because I love it.
But I mean, it's definitely a game that I'll come back to. You know what I mean? I mean, it's the demo did a great job of making me go, you know, this is going to be a really good game. The combat's good. You know, it plays pretty much like a hack and slash with a very deep RPG kind of background towards it. So I really liked it. I just liked it. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that kind of is a feather in the cap of Kingdoms of Amalur is also the fact that because the combat is so good and the way they have kind of the quest set up and in terms of just the organization, it's a game that you can walk away from a little while and come back to and you jump right back into it. I've taken breaks from it, and when I've come back to it, I've never felt like it was hard getting back into it. Yeah. So I think it's a game that, like, you know, Chris, for you, you'll shelve it for Mass Effect 3, and when you get back into it, you're going to have no issue.
Yeah, no, it is really easy to kind of jump back in and figure out where you were. And the other thing is, a lot of the side quests are kind of meh. So even if you forget where you were, you know you're supposed to go here, kill this dude, and grab that and bring it back. Okay, got it.
Yep. Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people say, especially on some of the bigger reviews of the game, that the side quests, honestly, you can probably skip a good chunk of them and be better off for it.
Yeah, the only one...
Completionist in you, I know, doesn't want to do that, but...
Well, I want to do the side quest because I want to level up as much as I can level up so that by the time I get to the last area, I'm maxed out. But I think the only side quests you really need to do are the ones that award you one of the twists of fate, you know, the permanent stat bonuses. You know, the five faction quests and any other ones that award those bonuses.
Okay. All right, Mike.
Well. Yeah, I did forget about Deus Ex, but I've been playing Deus Ex as well. And I wasn't going to talk about it, but I did play it a bit today, and there's something about it that really pissed me off. As a whole, I think the game's pretty good, and I quite like how open it is. And as a whole, brilliant. I quite like it, and it was pretty cool, and it had this like hole in the wall thing going on about it, but. A thing happened today where I did a mission, right, and at the end of the mission, there was this helipad, and it kind of looked like that I should be going on this helipad now, right, but instead I had to backtrack throughout the whole mission that I'd just gone through, which is a stealth mission, by the way, and one of the rewards is not to get seen, so I didn't get seen, and I didn't want to get seen on the way back, because I was doing a side mission at the same time, and so I went all the way back, sneaked all the way back, and one of the enemies respawned, which pissed me off as well, and then I did another main mission where I had to go see a doctor, which I think I should have done first because it's like a really easy mission where you just go see a doctor and she says, "Hey, do you want to buy some stuff?" And you just tell her, "Yeah, okay." And then I had to go back to that fucking helipad that I knew I should have gone to, so I got to sneak all the way through that mission again. And I just thought, you know, that was a bit infuriating. They should have just made me do the doctor mission like completely just made me do it. Why make it an option if I just got to go all the way back? So it is. It's quite open and that's cool. But at the same time, it doesn't look like it's really like well planned in that way. They've just kind of left it open and just gone for it.
It's not as open as you think.
No.
When you first start it up, you're like, oh, this big open city, I'll be able to go everywhere. And you kind of quickly find out...
It's not a big city.
A lot of it's sectioned off. It's not very big at all.
No, it's not. Like, I feel like I've seen most of it already now. I've blocked a satellite thing and seen a doctor and I've done one side mission. And some of the side missions as well, it's like, I've turned them off now because they're... frustrated me because I went in this building and I snuck all the way in and I had to hack this thing, press it, you can't hack it, sorry, you're not clever enough. I was like, the fuck? So I just went, you know what, I'm going to turn the side missions off for a bit until I get kind of into the story, kind of into the main quests a bit more, and then I'll go back to some of the side missions. And plus the side missions stack up very quickly because you go to one guy or one girl and she's like, can you do A, B, and C for me, go. All right, and you're like, whoa, now I've got all these blue icons all over my screen. So I like it. I think it's good, but it's very that's rough around the edges as well, animation-wise, graphics-wise, voice acting-wise.
The voice animations, when they were in dialogue, were the worst.
Yeah, they're pretty rough. But the game's pretty good, though. It's enjoyable. It's definitely fun to kind of stick around, and then when everything goes crazy, you know, you just shoot the shit out of everything.
It was one of those funny things. I actually liked the voice acting in the game. I just hated watching the voice sequences because watching Jansen talk, he would take these just weird poses and stances and do these things with his arms, and you're just like,
they all
what
do.
Are you doing?
They all do, and I think the reason why is because they're not the animations are not synced up to what they're saying, so they're just kind of like, you know, animation A, animation C, right. Animation F, or whatever, and they just do that when, like, this is the angry animation, and they're saying something angry, and they're not motion-capped. They're animated by hand, like, you know, some program has done them by hand, and they're not matching what they're saying individually. They're kind of like, you know, back in the old PS2 days where one guy would like repeat a loop of animations or something. So they're pretty basic, and yeah, it's not as presented as it wants to be Mass Effect. You can tell because imagine Mass Effect, and the city is kind of like what's the name of the ship in Mass Effect? The Citadel.
The Normandy and the Citadel
and all that. That's kind of like the city. And then you go off and do these quests, and it's pretty much Mass Effect in that respect, like structured. But, you know, it's just not got that polish on it. It just doesn't have that you know, that beautiful kind of dynamic conversations that it has, and it looks all natural. It doesn't have a good pace to it so far. You know, it just kind of lets you do everything, and it's good, but it's not...
I think... my take on it is, I'm guessing Eidos probably didn't have the biggest budget in the world for this game, and they weren't sure if it was going to be a success, so they did it. And now that it did really well, I think, you know, the sequel down the line is probably going to have a bigger budget. It'll be a much more polished game. So it was a nice reboot.
Have they announced the sequel?
They have not announced the sequel yet, but you pretty much you got to think it's coming.
It did well, didn't it? It was well enough, so yeah.
It did well.
I didn't know that you spoilers started out as like a just like, you know, without the arms and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, so that was quite a cool surprise.
Nice little surprise. There you go.
Yeah, and I think everybody knew that, but me. Like, I just didn't pay attention to like any of the videos, like the promotional videos, and I was like, oh right, it doesn't start like, because I just assumed that he was like that in the other games because I've never played the other game. No, apparently all this kind of augmented stuff is all
it's all new to him.
It's all new. You know, one of the story missions was kind of interesting. Like, you know, they're anti-augmentations, they're anti, like, you know, all this cybernetic stuff. But yet one of them's using it, and that's pretty intriguing. I was kind of like interested in what was going to happen. So that's definitely a good point of it. I was interested in the story somewhat, which is pretty hard to do with these games. So, yeah.
Mike, I'm really proud of you. I'm proud of you. You've embraced the RPG this year. Really embraced it.
I don't mind Western RPGs. It's all the Hawks and Elves and Wizards and shit that I don't like, and Japanese stuff, which is pretty much almost every RPG. I don't mind cool RPGs like Space.
Space.
Except for Eve.
Speaking of cool spaceness, Mr. Matthew, let's talk... I believe you played some Halo Reach.
I did. And you tried, but apparently Xbox is incompatible with it, which makes me sad.
Well, I have a funny story to that.
Okay.
So after my attempt to play Halo Reach, going back, I had been part of the beta program way back when they did the new dashboard and the new disc format. And part of that was they sent out new copies of Halo Reach on the new disc format to us, and we tested it out, and we got to keep Halo Reach for free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, once they released the final version of the dashboard, that disc had a problem. It actually wasn't compatible with the updated dashboard. I don't know why. I don't know how or what how it really became to be, but I had missed the kind of a lot of some of the announcements to beta program people saying, hey, let us know. We will, if you're having a problem with your disc, we will send you a on-demand code to replace it. So I tried firing up Reach last night, and I get this code: your version is incompatible with or uncompatible with the current dashboard update. So I contacted Xbox customer support, and they were really great about it. They said that it's probably going to take a couple of weeks, but they had to send it up to the beta team, have them kind of authenticate that I was part of the program. Then they're going to have me basically, I think, send back my disc. They'll get me a code. Nutshell of this all, in about 2 weeks' time frame, I'll probably have Halo Reach on demand as opposed to just disc format. But
that's pretty cool.
Anyway,
that's pretty cool. They looked at
it. Yeah, they looked at it, and it wasn't a painful experience. I mean, that was the one thing I was afraid of. They were really going to give me a hard time about it, saying, you need to prove blah blah blah. But no, they were, very very good about it. So I like when customer service calls go well.
Nice.
Yes. Sorry. So, Mr. Matthew, continue on. Halo Reach. You played some.
Yeah, played a lot. As I mentioned last week, I've been trying to rank up. Reached the rank of El Capitan in the UNSC, so trying to get to Lieutenant Colonel, which is not going to take as long as I thought it would. They have, they have like the daily challenges, and usually there's one for firefight.
Right.
It just happened to be yesterday there were two for firefight, so I was able to complete both of those for a quick 6,000 points. That was nice.
6,000 points.
6,000 points. Yeah. I've been having a lot of fun with that. Been enjoying it.
Okay.
I have also been playing, of course, Forza 4 and Battlefield 3, because that's what I do every week.
Right.
And so we had a nice time with David Alien on Saturday, playing a bit of Battlefield 3.
Yes.
The dog also likes Battlefield 3.
Yes, the dog is the dog wants to be on this podcast. I think, Chris, we might have to find a spot for the dog down the road.
We might. Permanent dog part for the podcast.
Kings of Amalur, I'm assuming.
Of course. I have been working on the faction quests. So I have finished the Thieves Guild. Well, what are they called? The Travelers.
Travelers.
Finished the Warriors Guild, or they call them the Warsworn. I finished those two. I finished the House of Valor, which was the gladiator-type quest. And now I am working on the House of Ballads quest.
Okay.
So, we talked last time about how the decisions you make don't seem to have a big impact on the world.
Right.
And I think that's still true. It seems that for each of the major side quests, each of the faction quests, there are one or two decisions you can make along the way that affect what bonus you get at the end of the mission, but not necessarily have any larger effects on the world themselves. I haven't... Granted, I've only made one decision, and I haven't gone back to make another one to see what changes, but that seems to be my observation. Still liking it very much.
Now, there's a game on your list here, and part of me wants to say we should wait for a certain Mr. Primrose to be on the podcast, but I absolutely want to hear...
Well, you know what? Let's talk about it now, and then Primrose can yell at me next week. Now, I should be able to say what I want to say without the constant we would get if he was here. So, yeah, I played Dark Souls.
And you sound very happy about it.
And,
yeah. It's game of the year for you?
No.
Game of the year. Game of the year.
Yeah, not so much. I suppose I can see why some people might be drawn to it. But I... It's not for me. It didn't grab me. So I was talking to Shinyverse, and he's like, you got to make sure you give it a fair shake. And so I played it for about 2 hours, and I was like, you know what? If it hasn't grabbed me after 2 hours, I'm just not that interested.
Right.
And I have it from Gamefly on the PS3. I'll probably give it another hour or so tomorrow just to see what's up. But I don't know. So I started off as a knight. So I started off with heavy armor, right?
Right.
Well, apparently if you do that, that means your character moves very slow because your strength is low and you can't carry all your armor yet. Which is dumb. If you start off as a knight, you should start off with increased strength so you can carry your crap. But anyway, so the knight runs so slow. You know, even the sprinting is like walking in most other games. So it takes forever to get anywhere. I don't find the combat to be interesting at all. It's like heavy attack, light attack, block. Heavy attack, light attack, block. Heavy attack, light attack, block.
Sounds
good. I guess there's a parry in there, but I suck, which is probably the case, or it doesn't work very well because I haven't been able to get it to work.
From what I understand, the parry move is you have to kind of master it to get good at it. The other thing that I did find interesting was in terms of, like, if you're fighting in a corridor and you have a long sword, you're not necessarily going to be able to swing it.
Right.
Hit a wall.
Yeah, I did notice the sword hit a lot of walls.
But I liked that. I found that kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, it wasn't all bad.
Right.
It is very nice graphically, but I was, it's the Japanese-ness of it immediately struck me when I started watching it.
Yeah.
Not in a weird way. There's just an art style that is sort of common to Japanese games.
Right.
And this was it. It reminded me a lot of, you probably never played this game, but on the PlayStation 1, there was a game called Ergis, which was a... Say again?
You were right. I never played
it. Yeah, it's a very obscure game.
All heard of it.
Yeah. It was, it was a dungeon crawler. But it was very similar. You started out in one place and you had to run through the dungeon and killing all the bad guys. And it was very, and the bad guys got progressively more difficult as you went through. And the art style was very similar. Of course, it was PlayStation 1 graphics, so kind of sucky. But, I don't know. It just didn't grab me. I didn't...
Say what you want to say. What is your overall feeling of Dark Souls?
I don't like it. I just don't think it's that good of a game. that's basically it. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, sorry. That's a long time.
That's okay.
I didn't like it.
Anything else on the playlist?
Well, don't think so.
Okay. For me, just like you, Battlefield 3 was enjoyable over the weekend.
Except one thing. Don't like Conquest Assault game mode.
This was my first time experiencing this, so I did not realize this was an issue. I don't know, Mike, and I don't know, Mike, if you've experienced Conquest Assault yet or not, but imagine a game mode where it relies heavily on squad spawning, and if in the course of a game all the quote-unquote spawn points get captured, you can't spawn, and you just have to wait for the match to end.
That sounds crap.
Yeah, that was Conquest Assault. We were playing, and our whole squad couldn't spawn anymore because all the capture points had been taken over, and there was no base spawn point. And so we just sat there for, 5 minutes, and we're watching the timer tick down. until the game ended.
Well, you sat and, there for 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, you left, which was probably the smarter thing to do.
Forget this crap.
Yeah, that was it was probably one of the like worst game designs I've ever seen for a game mode. There's just no fun in being, you know, on that end of it, and I can't believe that DICE has not done anything to fix that.
It doesn't sound fun at all. Sounds like an awful idea.
Yeah, it really was. But outside of that, Battlefield 3 was fun. Had a good time. Got in the Modern Warfare 3 tournament last night with the lag guys.
Right.
Had some fun with that. We literally got destroyed. I mean, our Modern Warfare 3 team isn't terribly great. And certainly I wasn't doing my end to help that matter. But it still was fun, you know. And Modern Warfare 3 is it has a much different feel when you're playing a private match, you know, that kind of matters. You know, we have teams of three people, so 3-on-3, and it gets kind of intense at times, but in a really good way. And I hadn't really experienced that kind of feeling before with Modern Warfare 3, to be perfectly honest. A lot of team play, or at least attempted team play. The team we were up against, I have never seen a team being so good at working a three-man team where they had two people pretty much always paired up together as the front assault, and you, like clockwork, could count on a third person coming around flanking you, but they knew the map so well that, I mean, they just timed it out perfectly, and I cannot tell you how many times we were getting annihilated from behind as we were, you know, facing the frontal assault. But, no, good times, even if we got our asses handed to us.
Oh, well. What about the fun?
Yeah, it is about the fun. Orcs Must Die, continued playing that. Love that game. By the way, noticed some other names popping up on the leaderboards. Chin Chinny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I'll play that game.
Yeah.
That's not easy, that game.
There's something about that game. I don't know what it is. You know, I enjoy the crap out of killing those damn orcs. And as you progress, you get more traps, and you can go back to levels that you played before and use some of the new equipment and, you know, of course, try and beat friend scores, that kind of thing. And Stickman has single-handedly gone through, I think, every one of my top scores and taken them out. I've managed to go back and capture a couple, but even that, it still is challenging.
It is.
And
I mean, the
final level is a bear.
I haven't got to the first act yet, and I was struggling on some of them already, and I was like, wow, it's not an easy game. But I was enjoying it. But my little nephew was watching me play it, and he was getting into it as well. it's you know, it's good. It's funny. It's charming, and yeah, I mean, it's definitely got that kind of one more go. So I was putting off playing Deus Ex for this. So one more go. And it's fun. Yeah, I forgot about that game. Yeah.
And then last game on my list is Alan Wake, American Nightmare.
Oh, so. Yeah, I played that as well.
Oh yeah.
Forget about that one.
So, I did buy Alan Wake American Nightmare.
You bought it? Oh, okay.
I bought it. I will say this. This game is about, I'd say maybe a 7.5 out of 10 if I was going to rate it. The voice acting and the storyline are pretty forgettable for the arcade title.
It's like a side story, isn't it, really? It's not.
It definitely is a side story. It doesn't feel like a sequel, which is good because, according to the developers, this is not a sequel to the original Alan Wake. It really is a side story. Really, it's you're playing an episode of the show Night Traps.
Yeah.
So that's why you hear the Rod Sterling kind of narrator, which I actually like that kind of aesthetic to the game. And the full motion video that they've used in the game, I actually really like.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of full motion video usually, but in this instance, the way they've done it, especially the television scenes, where you see Mr. Scratch, who's kind of the evil character of the game, They did those really well.
Yeah.
But the voice acting itself, man, you come across some people and you talk to them and you're just like, oof. But the combat's really fun. And they do have their kind of horde mode, which I haven't dabbled in.
Do they?
But, yeah, I haven't even touched that yet. I've just been playing through on the storyline. I like the Alan Wake combat mechanic, the flashlight, hitting with the light first. And they've basically used, like, the manuscript pages before in the first Alan Wake game. You got those, and it added to the storyline, but there wasn't really any kind of use for them beyond that. In this, as you gain manuscript pages, they're almost like a currency, and there are hidden kind of weapon suitcases, if you will.
Yeah.
They're not so much hidden, but they're layered throughout the game.
Yeah.
And you have to have X amount of manuscript pages in order to open certain ones up. So one might be 3, one might be 10, they start going up 20 and 40. And, of course, the weapon inside is going to be much better, depending on how many.
The nice touch there is, like, the page is kind of blip up on your radar if you're just kind of close. Not so you can investigate. You know, there's one in a room, and you can kind of go around. If you've got the balls, you can have a look, and or you can just completely ignore it. You don't have to actively go out your way. You'll kind of get a rough idea where it is. And also, they act as, like, kind of clues, don't they, to kind of figure out the what to do next, those pages, which I liked in the demo, the whole satellite thing and stuff. It's pretty good.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to be a terribly long game. I'm more than halfway through the single player already. I think two-thirds of the way through it. And, it is a fun little side romp. $15, I don't regret spending $15 on it. But I could see where somebody might want to wait to see it go on sale first. I think if you like Alan Wake, the proper Alan Wake, and specifically the combat from it, you'll enjoy this game. And I definitely am looking forward to the Horde mode, because that whole stick with that is you have to survive from dusk to dawn. So basically, the night comes in, all the creatures start coming out at you in waves and waves and waves, and you have to last until the sunrise comes.
Till the night closes in.
There you go. So enjoyable, liking it. And
I think Stu said it was about 5.5 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say probably about 6 hours-ish.
So it's about the same.
I think you could motor through the single player pretty quick, maybe even a 3-hour clip, to be perfectly honest.
It's about the same as a Modern Warfare 3 game, then. Ouch! Ouch!
That was rough. All right. I guess that's it for what we've been playing. Let's talk some new releases. All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii, there actually is a game.
What?
I know. It's insanity. Poke Park 2 Wonders Beyond.
Wow, what a game.
I thought you were waiting for that one. It's out on the retail shelves. That's it for the Wii. Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor 2 is out on the 3DS.
Is it the year, sir?
Yeah, not really. PS3, Binary Domain, Hyper Dimension Neptunia MK2, Mortal Kombat Complete Edition, and SSX, all out on the retail shelves for the PS3. PSN games this week, Deus Ex Human Revolution, Killzone 3 Multiplayer, Medieval Moves, Deadman's Quest, Primal, and Storm, all coming out on the PSN. You got some minis, Ducati Challenge and Trailblazer, and on the demos front, quite a few demos, FIFA Street, Major League Baseball 2K12, The Simpsons Arcade Game, and Top Gun Gunlock, all out this week, so check that out if you want. And DLC front, Assassin's Creed Revelations The Lost Archive for $10. Never Dead Expansion Pack Volume 2, and Saints Row the Third Bloodsuckers Pack. There you go. PS Vita's got some more games coming out this week on the demo side. Dynasty Warriors Next, Mod Nation Racers, Road Trip,
Reality Fighters, and Touch My Katamari. And a couple minis just to, for those that might have a Vita. Ducati Challenge and Trailblazer also available. Xbox 360, Binary Domain, Mortal Kombat Complete Edition, and SSX. And Xbox Live Arcade this week. Next Use, I don't even know how to say that, but yeah, that's that shooter game. And Storm, all out on Xbox Live Arcade. Demos, FIFA Street Fighter, and Major League Baseball 2K12. I did fail to mention, I tried Major League Baseball. It's a baseball game. Seems pretty competent. If you like baseball, you'll probably like it. DLC front, Assassin's Creed Revelations, The Lost Archive, Never Dead Expansion Pack Volume 2, and Saints Row the Third Bloodsuckers Pack. They are available now if you want them. Or I should say they are going to be available Wednesday. Deal of the Week, Rams Shadow Pack 2, out now, 800 points. Horde Command Pack, half off. Weapon Skins Collection, Weapon Skin Bundle, all kinds of Horde Gears 3 stuff. Basically, it's all half off. So if you want Gears 3, you want to check out the Deal of the Week. And that's it for new releases.
Oh, yeah.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, so news quiz time, guys.
News quiz.
You thought you got away from it. Well, first, before we get into the actual news quiz proper, there were a couple late updates that I thought I would touch base and talk about. One was Crytek was tweeting today, or there was a developer from Crytek that was tweeting saying he was at the Durango developer meeting in London. So if you're following kind of some of the rumored new Xbox rumors, Durango has been one of the code names that's been floating out there, and that's basically what they're saying the new Xbox is codenamed for.
Hmm.
Awfully suspicious, if you ask me.
Suspicious.
And yes, that is a word, not really. But yeah, so it's looking more and more like the new Xbox is going to be getting some announcement time sometime soon, because this particular developer also was talking about how some of their new game game announcements were going to be coming soon. So I guess we shall see. The Vita, you know, it went on sale last week worldwide.
I have a Vita.
Yeah, 1.2 million worldwide. So not doing terribly bad.
Yeah, the Sony fans can got a number to hang on to now.
Yeah. I know. Sony actually talking about numbers. It's refreshing to see. But yeah, so just a couple little things that popped up on the radar before the show, so I thought I'd include them in. But let's get into the meat of the news quiz right now.
Meat.
So first up, Mike, I'm gonna throw this one on you because I already know Mr. Matthew knows the answer to this. But Mass Effect 3 Day 1 DLC, it's gonna cost you how much, Mike? Is it A, free to all who pre-order, but $10 or whatever the equivalent UK pounds would be for non-pre-ordered copies? Is it B, free to limited edition copies, but $10 to all other versions? Or is it C, free to all new copies of the game and $10 for used copies?
Go with B.
You would be correct. Yeah, so free to the limited edition of copy. Now, free, I guess you could put in parentheses because you had to pay $20 more to get the limited edition.
Yeah.
But day one, $10 DLC. This angered me to no end, and Mr. Matthew knows. We talked about this a little bit on the boards even.
I think you're too fired up about it.
Mass Effect 2 have this?
No. See, Mass Effect 2, they had day one DLC, but if you bought the game new, you got your EA $10 pass thing. That was the Cerberus Network.
Yeah.
And that DLC was free to you. This time around, because they've added in the co-op multiplayer, they're giving you the $10 EA pass to play that, but now charging you $10 for this day one DLC. Now, I will say,
maybe I'm getting a little fired up over it. You know, Mr. Matthew, you very well may be right. Maybe I'm getting a little too irked about it. But
America.
I do know, and I'm not going to say anything about particularly what the DLC contains, but I will say it involves some mechanics of the story that are pretty – they're like a root element of the Mass Effect 3 and
that.
Mass Effect games. I do actually know this I have – yet. No, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah. So we'll take that conversation offline because I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But
you don't know shit,
I mean,
Greg.
We all know the core elements of Mass Effect are you are gathering crew members to help you and assist you in a fight.
Okay.
And to suddenly include, as part of DLC, an additional crew member day one that isn't going to be part of the game proper, you have to pay extra to get this person and their mission to get them, that to me feels like just a money grab.
But they did that in Mass Effect 2.
It's absolutely just a money grab. I don't agree with you there. But the thing of it is, who cares? It's an optional character with an optional quest.
I happen to think that this would be a character that anybody who plays Mass Effect would think, I really want this character. I want to explore that.
Certainly you'll find it interesting. It's a quote-unquote Prothean squad member. But so let's just think about completeness.
Are we not saying the character because we don't spoil anything?
No.
Well, no, he just said it, so it's not a big deal anymore.
Advertised. It's not like we're spoiling anything. Yeah. It's not on Xbox.
Who is it?
True. It's a Prothean character.
Prothean, what's
the Protheans are basically kind of like the forerunners of the Mass Effect.
They were
universe.
the last advanced society before the Reapers wiped them out.
Oh, I see.
Or at least one of the advanced societies before the Reapers wiped them out.
I remember in Mass Effect 1 where you're going down that massive tunnel and you take a sidestep and you speak to one of them. Got you.
So looking through the achievements for the game, I don't see any that indicate you need this person to get to 1,000 gamer score.
Okay.
I don't see any that indicate you need this person to get any kind of achievement of keeping everyone alive or getting to max preparedness.
Okay, well, that's fine that they're not on the achievement list.
I mean,
but just from a story mode.
Yeah, who cares? It's no different than Zed or Kazumi.
But Zed and Kazumi were free to the DLC.
No, you had to pay.
Or Zed was. Zaid was.
Kazumi.
Not Kazumi. But she came much later on down the road anyway.
So that was dumb because she was useless. and Zed wasn't all that great anyway. He was easily replaced with Morden.
And that's true.
And he wasn't that interesting of a character. You couldn't even talk to him.
I would agree he was not the most interesting character in the world.
He wasn't even interesting. He was just a grumpy old dude.
He was a grumpy old dude.
I don't know. Whatever. I hate it. I agree with you. It's a money grab and it's despicable. But you know what?
I will say this. I hope to
publish games out of the goodness of their heart. They do it to get greenbacks. So.
Now they do. They do. And being $10 DLC, I really hope that this is actually fairly substantial. If it really is just a mission to go get this character and that character as part of your crew.
What? I hope it's fairly substantial too. You know why, Greg? Because it's not $10 DLC. It's $20 DLC if you bought the limited edition. So it does
true.
Be
All right, let's move on to the next question. Chris,
stop crying.
You are up next.
I don't care about it. The whole DLC.
I'm over it.
Two games
we're moving
two achievements already have achievements on Mass Effect 3. This makes me angry.
Pirating at its best.
Yes.
Right. Chris.
Drive it on.
Epic Games is set to announce Unreal 4 at GDC. Who are they allowing to see the Unreal 4 engine? Is it A, unveiling is free to the public? B, is it going to be only press and media allowed? Or C, select licensees, partners, and prospective customers?
Licensees and partners.
Yeah, you are correct. Yeah, they are basically unveiling
behind closed doors to select licensees and partners and prospective customers, and they'll be given demonstrations by appointment only. That just, again, furthers kind of this rumor mill of next-gen happening sooner rather than later. I don't know. It's got me excited for GDC to see what kind of information gets leaked out from things like that. Anyway, moving on, Mike.
Yo.
What game is going free-to-play on Sony's Sony Entertainment Network?
Ooh.
Is it A, Resistance 3, B, Killzone 3, or C, Infamous 2?
I know this one, Greg.
Yeah?
I think. It was mentioned on the other podcast I do, I think.
And?
Killzone 3. Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it is Killzone 3, yes. Killzone 3 going free-to-play. Basically, they're going to do kind of what Homefront did with their multiplayer, which is they cap it at a certain level. You can't get past it unless you want to pay for it. And in this case, you can get the full multiplayer version of Killzone 3 for only $15, starting February 28th.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's an interesting experiment. I hope it's successful, because I'd like to see this model maybe take off for some other multiplayer games. I think it could be a nice spin. Chris, let's move over to you. What Xbox Live arcade game that's upcoming currently has an interactive text adventure that if you make enough of the correct choices, you actually get to see a trailer for the game? Is it A, Mark of the Ninja? B, Shadow Ninja. Or C, Silent Strike Ninja?
Silent Strike.
It's Ninja.
Yeah.
Pick a ninja.
Say the choices again, I'm sorry.
You've got Mark of the Ninja, Shadow Ninja. Or Silent Strike Ninja.
Wow.
And creepy voice from Mike.
Shadow Ninja.
Creepy voice from Mike.
Unfortunately, you're wrong. It is Mark of the Ninja.
No.
Yeah, so they have an interactive text adventure up right now on the developer site. This is from Klee Entertainment. And this text adventure, you go through making choices, and if you get 100 out of 100 on the choices, they show a video. And basically, it's a side-scrolling stealth ninja game that involves basically you setting traps for your unsuspecting enemies. It looks pretty ingenious. I went through and did the text adventure. It really doesn't take that long. It's about 10 different choices you have to make. And they, as long as you think ninja, you'll get through it. I'm kind of looking forward to this game now. Wasn't on my radar scope at all before, but it sure is now. It's got a nice look to it.
Ninja.
Anyway. All right, moving on. Mike.
Yo.
What is the pre-order bonus that comes with any version of the Game of Thrones game?
Condoms.
Is it A? It could be. Okay, we'll call it D. For now, though, A, a hardbound art book, B, exclusive matching in-game armor and sword, or C, a cloth map of the world?
They're all stupid.
Is this a Game of Thrones video game?
Yes.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Well, now you do, and you've pre-order bonus.
Now you do, Chris. Thanks for the Overseas Connection News Quiz. What's the B option again?
That would be exclusive matching in-game armor and sword.
I think you made that one up. Art book. I'll go for the art book, because I think you got the idea from the cloth from Skyrim, so... Art book.
You are sharp as a tack. Yes, hardbound art book is in fact being offered up with each pre-ordered copy of the game.
Boring.
64 full color pages, sketches, renders, and photos and screenshots from the game, accompanied by compelling text.
I haven't watched that program.
Be good. I'll bet not.
I kind of am with you there, but I certainly love the show, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones got a lot of British people. Got a lot of British people in it, hasn't it?
That's one reason not to like it, but the show is good regardless.
All right, last question on the news quiz. Mr. Matthew, what new first-person shooter did EA announce that is set to release in October? Is it A, Battlefield Bad Company 3, B, Medal of Honor Warfighter, or C, Dead Space 3?
Medal of Honor.
You are correct. Medal of Honor Warfighter is set to release in October 2012. Yes, it is.
So here's the thing, Greg.
Yes.
Dead Space wasn't a first-person shooter.
I know. The reason why I did categorize first-person shooter is because Dead Space 3 is already having rumors that it is going to be announced at any point in time. So I thought, for the sake of the news quiz, on the off chance it was officially announced by the time we were talking about this, at least this way, it would be factually a correct question.
I see.
But, yeah, so Warfighter, it's going to use the Frostbite 2 engine.
Warfighter, is that the real name?
Yeah, it is the real name.
Jesus,
I kid you not.
Christ.
The interesting spin on this time around, DICE is not going to be working on the multiplayer portion of the game. So we'll see how it does without DICE.
Is it still Danger Close? Is it still those guys?
It is still Danger Close, yes.
Okay. I thought the Medal of Honor, the one that DICE did work on the multiplayer, I thought no one really liked it.
No.
Well, I think everybody felt like it was splintered. You had the Danger Close single-player game that felt kind of like their game, Medal of Honor, and then you had the DICE multiplayer, which basically felt like Battlefield Bad Company.
Yep. Uh-huh. And it was different. So, there was even different controls for different things. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Nice.
It didn't play the same across the... So, yeah.
Poor execution.
Yeah. Poor execution.
It was kind of like the people at DICE were making Battlefield 3, and on a Sunday they would spend time making Medal of Honor multiplayer. Like, oh, right, okay, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, let's put some weapons in. Oh, brilliant, that's fun. Right, Battlefield 3. You know, it didn't really feel like they put the heart into it.
I see.
Yeah. Well, speaking of poor execution, that's it for the news quiz. Let's do the show break, and we'll jump into the community mailbag on the flip side.
What are you doing? Scanning.
Hey, yo, BC, the turntable biotic. Hit him with the good stuff, gone.
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
You want to see if I've got the minerals?
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Beep
it, I'll break it down so you can absorb it. You need to mine planets, minerals, and do it from orbit. Some good advice, and you're too much of a noob to ignore it. You'll be stranded with no fuel if you foolishly floor it. I used to rock microphones rhyming in the stadium. These days I launch probes mining for palladium. Slouching at my console, crying from the tedium. I contemplate relations with the slimiest of aliens. A Spectre and Alliance and 7 special ops. Some things I scan are anomalous, but the rest are rocks. This shit is so boring, most men's souls would wither. Yo, but I ain't trying to get my tallies over blown to slithers. No doubt, I get it in with the iridium. Rhythmically clicking launch probe, tunnel vision, and I'm mining for resources with the lowliest of purposes. I drag the scanner reticle slowly on the surface.
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
You wanna see if I've got the minerals?
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
Smelly God has it.
Hey yo, probe away. Foes know that probing may make me cranky, like Harkin on a sober day.
Okay.
Tali's research, hey yo, fuck a solar ray. I'll take a cane to motherfuckers, go straight and Enola Gay. You can scan procedurally or just stop and meander. But if it's taking ages, doggy, stop with the scanner. You need to get a fucking upgrade. Talk to Miranda, she'll probably get up from her desk so you can stop for a gander. She's a skeezy hoe, totally elusive man. He don't believe me though. I oughta find his office, leave the geezer leaking hemoglobin. Although I know the brother brought me back from the dead, I feel compelled to put one in the back of his head. Anyway, fuck a prime directive, only amateurs enforce this. Strip mining planetoids, scanning for resources. Racking shit from the moons, planets, and the ports. And now the Normandy is upgraded and damaging your forces. Yeah, I get my scan on like a tampon.
I'm
Got it already since it's
I guess the task.
Commander Shepard.
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away.
It's really gone, hasn't it?
Element zero. Launching probe.
This is valuable.
Iridium. Probe launched.
This might be useful.
Palladium. Palladium. Launching probe.
This looks interesting.
Probe launched.
We can use this.
I got a spare bottle of Sarah's Ice Brandy in my quarters if you care to join me. Bitch!
Tomato! Take the mail, Potter. Take the mail, Pip. Yep, any mail for us.
All right, back from the break. And, time to dive into the community mailbag. Tough for me to say. Question for this show, as Mr. Matthew put it so succinctly, Williams or Lawson, you know. So, yeah, thinking Mass Effect 3, I'm on the Miranda camp. Yeah, Miranda did it for me.
I did it with Miranda. Which one's Lawson again?
Chris, you want to cover that in terms of you want to give your explanation of why you think Lawson was a better choice than Williams?
Did I say that?
No. I just kind of figured you might have since you threw it out there.
No, I just asked the question.
Hold on. Which one's Williams and which one's Lawson?
Williams was from Mass Effect 1 and Lawson was from Mass Effect 2.
Sorry, so it was Miranda Lawson.
Ashley Williams.
And then
Ashley's a dog.
Yeah, Miranda definitely had more sex appeal to her.
Oh, God, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
I do. Yeah. But Ashley was a racist as well.
She was a racist.
She was like, hey, don't get mixed with those aliens. Yeah. It's just like, oh, you talking to that blue chick, you fucking weirdo. She's a racist.
Yeah, Miranda was willing to get it on with anybody.
Get it on.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel dirty right now.
Yeah, it probably wasn't a great question, really.
Oh, well.
In retrospect.
Now that we've covered that, why don't we jump into, I should say one of the things we did when we threw out this question of the week, we also threw it out with a new contest, which was the Limerick contest. So some of the responses I've been seeing actually have not only the question of the week being answered, but also a limerick thrown in. Now, we're not announcing a limerick winner anytime soon, but for the sake of these responses, I do want to at least get them out there. So we'll have to kind of keep them in mind when it comes time to announce winners for the contest. But over at the Play Vault, we got a few responses. Because we actually posted the question up in time for somebody, at least. Let's see. So first off, we had John Malfive said Lawson was a whiny bitch who didn't shut up about how much she hated being perfect. I wanted to shoot her in the face, but I still doinked her. Williams could kick ass, and even though she was a little bit blunt at times, i.e. racist, she was a much more enjoyable and believable character than Lawson.
I thought he meant that. She looked like she'd been hit by a blunt object.
Oh.
Oh.
And he threw in, vague attempt at a gate limerick about CPM and Fable. If the fables are to be believed, then CPM loves men. His woman chick popping achievements again and again. He didn't even take payment, just got a thanks, and then he sits waiting Fable 4 so he can do it all again. Clever. Clever.
Not very nice. Not very nice at all.
Kind of true. okay, we have Elder Phil threw in, what I presume this is Mass Effect 2, which I can only reply the same way someone does when they can't quite hear what you said and simply say, yes. As for the limerick, there was once an alien called Dave.
Dave.
Who comments on forums for days.
Days.
When asked how this could be, he simply said to me, get the fuck away from me, Phil, and put some bloody clothes on. Wait, what?
Well, yeah, not a strong ending, but, you know, comic.
Yeah.
Comical.
Now, he did throw in, I just realized it had to be a gate member to win. Nobody will be able to beat me, though. Mwahaha. I don't think I am old enough to become one either.
He's 17.
Although I could lie.
He's 17.
Yes. Elder Phil, 17. Just a youngin'. Let's see, and going down, I think that was kind of it. Then there was just a bunch of discussion on how old he was. So, yeah, those were the responses over at the Play Vault. Why don't we check in on the gate side? Anything there, Chris?
We got a little bit over there. Dana says, Lawson, although if it were any Krogan females, I'd be intrigued. The ability to exfoliate at the same time. And then a very distressed-looking smiley face going, oh!
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody kind of shied away from this one just because, like we said, you feel kind of dirty after you answer it.
Fine, I'm terrible.
But hey, fear not. We did get some emails. Mike, I think we had one from Parsnip.
We did, Greg. We did. Parsnip says, hello, Skellywags. I have a question for you all. Which two achievements are you most proud of and most ashamed of? Chris, we'll start with you.
I don't know if I have any that I'm really that proud of, because at the end of the day, they're achievements.
Wow. But,
well, I mean,
that's coming from the man that chases them all the time.
Well, here's the thing. I'm an achievement junkie, right? So, and I'm kind of ashamed by that fact sometimes. Let me think.
There's got to be one that you think, fuck, I'm so glad I got that.
You know, I'm trying to think back through all the different, 120 some odd games. You know, some of them sound hard, but they're actually quite easy. I'm going to go with, completing Mass Effect 2 on the insane difficulty, because that's the most difficult one that I can think of in recent memory.
What about Halo Reach? Wasn't that?
Well, see, Halo Reach was pretty difficult, but at the same time, I was following, you know, anytime I got stuck, I had found this really good guide. You know, and there were some parts where I literally just ran past all the enemies and didn't even fight them. Yeah. So even though that one was tough, it wasn't all that tough by the end, looking back at it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg, what was your achievement?
Well, I think that's something I'm very ashamed of.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, go on.
Okay, yes. Ashamed.
So there were 5 achievements in the game, Avatar the Burning Earth. I'm ashamed of all 5.
Oh, you should be ashamed.
yeah, those made me feel sad.
That was a dark day for you, Chris.
You know what?
It was a dark 2 minutes.
2 minutes,
yeah. Because you could get all 5 achievements in 2 minutes.
By pressing B, I believe.
Yeah.
By pressing B over and over. I'm trying to think there was an achievement for completing the quest in Fallout 3 where you had to go find 5 people and subjugate them to slavery. that always made me feel wrong. Well, I should say it's because I only did it once and then reloaded a previous game save. But for that 30 minutes, it felt really wrong.
Okay.
What are you going to do, Greg?
Okay, so I'm trying to think. I guess Gears of War on Insane was probably a kind of a shining moment. I will say Modern Warfare 2 on Veteran, I did not complete it, but completing just any level on Veteran in that game felt rewarding.
I didn't think that one was all that hard compared to Call of Duty 4.
No, I agree. I agree with Chris.
Sorry, I am thinking of Call of Duty 4. My apologies. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, Call of Duty 4, just felt just painful. And then I would say in terms of an achievement I'm most proud of is actually an achievement that's not on my achievement list, and that is all of those Avatar achievements. Because when that first came out, everybody was doing it to get the 1,000 achievement score. And I resisted, and I was quite proud of myself for resisting. Yeah. I will say, anytime I have, and oddly enough, I do it every time it's there. But any of the you did it with the chick achievements, you had sex with them achievements.
So there it is.
I feel completely dirty when I do those. But damn it, if I don't do it every time.
since I've been called out on already, I feel really guilty about the cross-dimensional conception achievements that I unlocked for everyone else in Fable 3 and then received Ritual 4. So you know what? When Fable 4 comes out, to hell with all of you. You get
fuck
nothing.
Fuck you all.
No love from Chris. What about you, Mike?
There will be none of
what about
that.
You?
Well, one of my proudest ones is finishing – this is going to be an odd one when I say it – but finishing Far Cry 2.
Okay.
The reason for that is because I fucking hated that game, right? And I was just so glad when it was over. So I'm quite proud I got that one because I really didn't think I'd see the end to that. And also another one that I'm ashamed of is Far Cry 2 because I can't believe I actually played it. But in terms of, I suppose the only kind of cheap ones I went for, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle achievements.
Okay.
Which Chris, I'm sure, knows that are very easy.
I did that, but I don't. Any game that requires you to play the whole game to get the achievements, I don't feel bad about, even if it's relatively easy.
They're pretty easy, but like the thing is, like I really like that game. I think it's a kind of cool game. So
it actually was kind of fun.
Yeah, so I didn't mind it too much, but I suppose like it wasn't really that difficult. Other ones, ashamed. I don't know. Don't know really. I suppose I was quite proud of the bobblehead one in Fallout 3. That actually felt like I earned that one because I got it on my first playthrough. I didn't miss anyone, and there's some that you can miss if you don't do it at all. And yeah, so I was pretty proud I got that as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it, really. Oh, yeah, we do the emails. Forgot about that.
Yeah, email.
You forget. When people ask us a question during an email, you forget. Okay, so Parsnip Nose goes on to say, for me, the one I am most proud of is Vinyl Artist in Rock Band. This is earned for finishing the Endless Setlist, which, if I remember correctly, compromises of approximately 65 songs. Which have to be finished in one sitting. My wife and I completed it in co-op. It took about 6 hours, and you have to finish it in one go without even pressing pause, or you don't get the achievement. We had numb fingers for a few days afterwards. The one that I'm most ashamed—that's nuts, by the way. That is, I've never heard of that one. The one that I'm most ashamed of is the one and only. Well, I got for Hail to the Chimp. Well, there's a game that I tried to forget quickly because now I can't delete it and everybody knows that I played it. That's it from me. Bye-bye. P.S. Dear Mr. Webster, you got it the wrong way around. Die is singular and dice is plural.
Yes, last week he had that backwards.
Yeah.
Hey, I did want to... play Parsnip sent us a limerick, an audio limerick though.
Audio. So,
yes, I thought I would play that real fast.
Ironic that Parsnip's trying to win back the points that he gave us back.
I know. How funny is that? Here we go. All right. So with technical difficulties in play, we will not be playing Parsnip's limerick. I will instead probably either add that in at the end of the show. Or, if nothing else, we'll play it next week when I can get it to work, because for whatever reason, it's not working properly, guys.
We'll play it next week.
Well.
Do all of the all of the limericks for the contest.
There we go.
There you go.
But we did get an email from Mr. Mark Wright, Chris.
Mark Wright.
Yep, Mark Wright, also known as Markenix, sent us an email, and he says, "Good evening, chaps." That was my Dracula voice.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
So following my email last week, I did the final mission of Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
I finished it with all my crew alive. Wahoo!
Wahoo!
Which I believe is what Han Solo said when he saved Luke Skywalker at the end of Episode 4. Whatever.
And also what Mario says when he's jumping.
He did. I then tried the Mass Effect 3 demo single player and really enjoyed it. I thought the combat was a shade tighter, which I liked, but the big thing was the Kinect voice commands. They worked brilliantly. Yep. I was really impressed.
Whether it was
giving orders to squad mates or speaking out your dialogue choices, it worked the first time without errors. Looking forward to this one releasing in March, next week.
Yes.
He goes on, I've been playing a lot of Dead Island lately and really getting into it now.
Yeah.
Got quite a lot of depth to it as an existing weapons loot whore. I'm looking at you, Borderlands. This is right up my street. I just wish I had more inventory slots. Lol. Don't we all?
Yes.
The co-op works really well. I've been playing mostly with friends. A big thanks to David the Alien, BAGM Assassin, Parsnipnose 3000, and Jonesy. Oh, and if you play this game with David, just be careful. He was walking around with a propane canister. There were a few times when I walked around a corner and heard him snigger just as I spotted the gas canister on the floor right in front of me. Then I heard a single gunshot. Then, boom, I was sent flying down the street and landed on my back. Bastard. Lol. Apparently it's very funny to blow up your partner in Dead Island. Got it.
Yes.
Question of the week is an easy one for me. It has to be Miranda Lawson. In Mass Effect 1, I was trying to talk Rex down when out of nowhere, the bitch Ashley Williams shot him in the back. I really liked Rex, and up to that point, I took him on every mission. Needless to say, my choice of who to leave on Vermeer with the bomb was an easy one, so Ashley is dead to me, literally. Lol. I have also thought of a limerick for you guys, so here goes.
All right.
The OC connection is like podcast crack.
No, you can't have any more.
Is always trying to keep it on track. Rich loves his Dark Souls insanely. CP's dog always barks like crazy. And Chinny is always eating a snack.
That's true, actually. I really need to stop
good.
That.
Yes.
It's a good limerick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice use of the pentameter there. Sorry it's a bit naff. It was last minute composition. Haha. Have a great show, guys. Mark.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that, Mark. Yeah, so you got another week for the limerick contest. So get it in. And I guess right now we'll talk next week. Question for show 158. Day one DLC.
Before you read it.
Yeah.
Let's not taint it. Let's just leave it at this. What is your opinion on day one DLC?
Well said.
That's a good way of putting it.
That is a good way of putting it. No tainting. But we could taint by talking about playdates.
Good. So let's see. Today is Tuesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So Wednesday at 9 p.m., I'm going to try to get five people together for a little bit of Gears of War 3 to try and get some of the five people achievements. So if you want to do that, look for CPM1376 on Xbox Live. If you want to get some Homefront on with the laggers, Mudda Trucker will be running a Homefront play date. Friday night at 9 p.m., we'll have some Friday night racing going on. And the laggers are going to have a Battlefield 3 frag fest, also starting at 9 p.m., both of those East Coast time. Saturday, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, 1 p.m. East Coast time.
Cool.
Hosted. And then at 3 p.m. East Coast time, Forza Motorsport 4, for those that are interested.
Lots of racing.
Yes, lots of racing. And it continues Sunday with...
Sunday.
The F1 2011 Championship Round 9 at 6 p.m. Gross Mountain time, Greg.
Gross Mountain.
Also at 6 p.m. Gross Mountain time, the veteran gamers will be hosting a bit of Uncharted 3. And I believe Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time is the last round of the Forza Motorsport 4 Minis Team Racing Tourney. So if you want to do that, have some fun. Let's see. And then next Monday evening, 9 p.m. East, I'll be doing some Halo Reach Firefight if you want to jump in. And Tuesday.
If only I could.
Hey, dude.
it's the worst tease in the world.
I'll bet you could pick up the game for like $5 at GameStop. I'm just saying. And Tuesday night is 2 for Tuesday on the battlefield. 8 p.m. British time and 8 p.m. American time. Eastern, that is.
Merk.
So jump on in there. Right?
Right.
Happy birthday this week to Luzame, Geekfeek, Gamera, TGCX Cirax, Dauntless Ansible, and welcome to the new member, Mr. Defies.
Mr. Defies or Defies.
Or Defies. Or
yes, Mr. Defies.
Or
he's a big fan of the show. He's a big fan of the show.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Always like to have fans of the show. How about a review?
We do. How about a review?
Right.
There you go.
Greg's going to add the community spotlight later. So if
yes.
you want to email the show, Greg, where would you send that email?
You are good. I would send that email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's where I would go with that email.
Beautiful. And if you're going to tweet us, you should put that tweet to @OC_podcast. And if you're going to call the show from the U.S., Mike, where would you call the show at?
No, you would call the show.
Well done.
Cheers, mate. You would call the show, Chris, at 626-506-2763. That's 626-50-OC-POD. And if you're from the UK, you would type in the whole digits there. 001-626-506-2763. Prices may vary.
Nice.
Yeah, I suppose we should probably take that UK part off because, honestly, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
If you are a millionaire and you're living in the UK, please feel free to dial in and leave us a 10-minute review.
Would be an expensive phone call.
Yes.
I might do it for a laugh. Let's see how much.
Zune reviews. We always love iTunes and Zune reviews.
We do.
Yep. And that brings us to the closing. Mike, go.
All right, I'm going to shout out. The two people called the Yes Men. If you haven't heard of these people, they basically kind of do practical jokes on. They're not like those kind of that term Yes Men, or you know that just say yes to all their bosses because they're arse kissers. And it's not the Jim Carrey film. It's the Yes Men, and I'm just trying to find out their names. Andreas something and Mike something else. I'm going to offend them, but basically. They said that they tried to work with us this weekend, but we couldn't because one of us was in Prague and stuff. But we will soon, hopefully. They're very funny. Watch their films, The Yes Men. They have two. The Yes Men tried to save the world as well. They're very good. Cool. I'll also shout out Lewis Black because he's funny. I like that guy. He's got a shaky hand, though, but I think he's really funny.
And, he is really funny.
Even though it's a bit easy to attack Glenn Beck, is he? You know, that crazy guy?
Right.
But he does it in such a great way that I found it very amusing on the YouTubes. So I'll shout out Lewis Black. And Chris, go.
All right. First, a shout out to the Facebook fan of the week, Kevin Knight, Knight Triple XL. And I'm going to shout out Shinyverse. And Mrs. Shinyverse, whose gamer tag is Hot Chutney. We were playing Firefight last night, and it was just the three of us and of course, one random dude, because you got to have four in the matchmaking lobby. And so the random dude sent a friend request to Shiny's wife, but not to either of the other two of us. And so Shiny was immediately, probably exactly how I would have been on Xbox Live, like, deny it. Don't even, just ignore it. So I got a good kick out of his protectiveness in that situation.
Yeah.
It was quite humorous. So well done. You must defend your lady on Xbox Live, especially on Xbox Live, because people are stupid. And that brings it to Gregory.
Speaking of stupid, me. So after the thumping that we took in the Modern Warfare 3 tournament, I have to shout out Mudatrucka over at the lag community. I hope the couch was lumpy and cold. That's all I have to say. That's it, guys. It's a show. It's wrapped. We're done.
Done.
Time to go.
Oh, that's the end.
Hello, this is Parsnip Nose 3000 with another community spotlight. Well, this week I want to mention Skullduggera, purely because every single time he says Skellington instead of Skeleton, it makes me laugh my willy off. So anyway, thank you for that, Mr. Skullduggera. Keep up the good work. Bye!
About right now, I could just start talking about everybody I wanted to. Nobody would hear me talking about them. I could say that Mike is a dick. CPM is a wuss, and that the real soldiers of the world are the Marines. I could say, well, anything I say about Richard Primrose just pretty much goes without saying.
Fuck you, Greg.
Mike, you sound so far away.
Hello.
Are you? Did you just pop open a soda pop?
Yeah.
Nice.
Cherry cola.
You know what? We are alike.
We are very alike.
Good looks and great taste in soda. I am missing a bit of the height issue, though.
A bit of the what?
The whole height thing.
Yeah. How tall are you?
Well, I'm not like a tree sapling like you.
Yeah, right. So the thing is, I was hoping it was going to be a full house, so I could kind of not pay so much attention, so I could work, but I have to kind of pay attention there.
All right.
That's fun.
All right, well, that is fun. Hey, let's record.
Let's record.
Let's do it.
We said, I think we've done a show like this before, and we said, oh, it's going to be short.
We have.
And
yeah,
it was
long as fun.
Yeah, it was one of the longest we had. So.
It isn't helping that we're starting late, so.
New.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, your official podcast, the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today is... fucking A. Ooh. It's going to be like that, Mike. It's going to be one of those shows.
Jesus Christ.
You want a dog.
Is that a bear?
If the dog wakes up the kid, I'm going to go and beat him. All right. I'm silent. Let's start. Where are we in the show, by the way?
What we've been playing, we just finished talking about SSX with Mike.
Oh, so I just made it in time for what we've been playing. Excellent.
I've got one more game to talk about, and then it's over to whatever you
want. Here, Greg, I'm going to introduce myself, and you can edit this in, and it'll be as if I was always here. So first, let me do something weird for you to edit in while you're trying to introduce the show. What? Okay, good. And now I'll say, hey, everybody, Chris Matthew, CPM1376, CP Matthew on the PlayStation Network, and Dark Souls sucks. All right, good. You have that. Let's go.
Perfect.
You were...
All right, so...
Sorry. Go. Go!
All right, so...
Go.
As I mentioned last week, I've been trying to rank up. So I've reached the rank of Capitan in the... you stupid mutt.
So, El Capitan.
I reached the rank of captain, and I'm trying to rank up to the rank of lieutenant colonel for the last achievement in the original 1,000 achievements, or 49, or whatever they were.
Right.
I've been having a lot of fun with the arcade firefight mode. I played a little bit Sunday and a little bit more Monday night.
I was so bummed I could not play with you guys, because I've been wanting to play firefight for quite a while. And there's the dog. This, by the way, was the stupid mutt comment.
Gotta go let the stupid fucking dog out.
That was worth recording right there.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts. Similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.